My intention is not that people understand why the laser is reacting now better than it reacted last year. What for me is important is that the people have a better experience without knowing why. The why is not a question for me.
Das ist der Telekom Electronic Beats Podcast, der Podcast rund um Nachtleben und Clubkultur.
Wir sprechen mit DJs, Türstehern, Tänzern, Clubbetreibern und anderen Nachtmenschen.
Mein Name ist Gesine Kühne.
Und ich bin Jakob Töne.
Herzlich willkommen beim Electronic Beats Podcast.
Hallo, ich bin's wieder, Jakob Töne. Willkommen beim Electronic Beats Podcast. Da wir uns straight auf das Ende des Jahres 2019 bewegen, habe ich für die heutige Folge ein besonderes Highlight für euch. Denn ich habe mich mit keinem Geringeren als DJ Dixon aka Steffen Berghain getroffen. Er ist einer der bekanntesten DJs der Welt und nebenbei bemerkt auch einer meiner Lieblingskünstler. Wir haben das Interview auf Englisch aufgezeichnet, da der Großteil seiner Community doch englischsprachig ist und er gerne alle erreichen wollte, auch die, die dem Deutschen nicht so mächtig sind. Deshalb bitte wundert euch nicht, wenn wir gleich ins Englische switchen. Im Interview selbst sprechen wir natürlich über Dixons neuestes Projekt Transmoderna, über Ibiza, über den Vergleich mit Berlin und über ganz viele Technologien. Wenn ihr nach dem Gespräch noch mehr über Dixon erfahren wollt, kann ich euch das Slices-Video auf eb.net sehr ans Herz legen. Und außerdem packe ich euch ein paar Links zu Transmoderna noch in die Shownotes. Das gibt neben unserem Interview noch tolle Einblicke in sein Schaffen. Nun aber erstmal zum Gespräch mit Dixon. So, hello, Steffen.
Hello.
Welcome to Berlin. I mean, you're living here, but you spent most of the time or most of the weekends away. Where did you spend the last weekend?
I was in Asia. I was in Tokyo, Shanghai and Kuala Lumpur.
And how was the trip? Like, how long did you stay there and how was the vibe?
I didn't stay long at all. I think I left Wednesday and I was back on Monday.
Oh, that's quite tight.
Yes, so I arrived on Thursday, then a gig Thursday, gig Friday, gig Saturday, and then I left on Sunday. It's often a shame, especially now on this trip, because it's amazing cities and there's so much to discover or experience. But as the more time you spend away, as less time you have at home. And if you are having a pretty tight touring schedule, then you have more time to relax at home, yes.
But maybe you can discover after time when you're coming there next time, maybe you go to another restaurant or see different places.
Yeah, yeah. It's hardly about places, but mostly about people. And because, especially in this trip, for instance, I was, I'm not sure how often, but I guess 20 years now I'm going to Japan. Which means I have so many people there that I know and that I see again once a year. And there's stuff to discover, yeah, but it's more about reconnecting with the people.
We're going to definitely circle back to this because there was a special occasion you went for in Japan.
But for instance, Shanghai, I was twice before and Kuala Lumpur was never before.
Oh, okay.
So obviously, I would have loved to stay a little bit longer in Kuala Lumpur to somehow discover it. Yeah, but then again, I'm traveling for such a long time and I've seen so many amazing places that at the end of the day, it's the time here is much more worth than time away.
There's a place in Europe where you've been a lot of times this summer and it's Ibiza.
Yes.
And you spent like, you had 20 shows played there.
Mm-hmm.
And it was like for a long time was your first residency. Why Ibiza?
Yeah, as you said, it was a residency. It was 20 Fridays, and I was approached by clubs in Ibiza for quite some time.
And always said no, that's what I read.
Well, I always was thinking about it. It wasn't like that I was always, it was immediately clear that I can't do it, but for quite some time, I didn't feel comfortable doing it. I believe that, but I realized after several years that even if I say no to these offers that are there, I'm constantly going back to the island and not just once. Well, if I'm going, for instance, to Bucharest, I'm going once a year. to Praha probably once every 2 years, and to Berlin, I'm playing here 3 times a year. But in Ibiza, I played for the last couple of years, I played between 6 and 10 shows.
So even, more or less kind of residency.
Yeah, but never a residency, always for someone else.
Yeah.
And when I realized that I'm actually, even if I say no to these clubs as a residency, but I'm still going back and plays for someone else, why not do it myself? And the reason why I didn't do it myself for all this time, because I always heard you have to live in Ibiza. You have to absorb the spirit. You have to connect with the island. And I felt that there is, I'm hardly in my hometown in Berlin for a long time. Why to go to another place and stay there? But then it's not a horrible place. And Twenty Fridays is 5 months. That's very long, and it was clear that I can't be there for more than 2 months. But I did stay there for 2 months actually. And when it was clear that my son is at school now and he has pretty long holidays, and we could stay there for a while, I realized that rather than playing for someone else on an island where I'm not happy with this situation of the clubs there.
Why though?
I try to change something and do it the way I would like to do it. Yeah. Yeah. The question, why not, is hard to answer, because the times when Ibiza was this Balearic island that even created the Balearic sound, where before I was going to Ibiza. But it was always this mystical idea about that about Ibiza being that forefront of clubbing in Europe, or at least one aspect of clubbing in Europe that everyone wanted to go to. I started to go there after 2000. It's something between 2000 and 2002. And the first times I went there, I was looking for already was absorbed by the super clubs, you know, and the machine that they installed there. And obviously that was 18 years ago.
What kind of clubs was it?
I was going to Amnesia back then. I was going to DC10. I checked all of them, from the small to the big. And it was clear for me that as a clubber and DJ with a very specific view on how clubbing and DJing should be, Ibiza was definitely not like this in this time. But I always realized that I really had fun. And my argument was always like, yeah, if you go there once or twice a year, that's actually great. But after going there for more than 10 years at least, I realized it left less and less impact on me.
Because it was not that progressive anymore.
Yes.
Or not that futuristic.
Yeah.
No or new ideas. Or,
yeah. No, real for sure not. But I still wanted it to be, because I felt that I will be there every summer. And therefore, I started to play around with the idea of, okay, if there is this offer to do something there, why not trying to put my stamp on the island and try to push certain things that I felt were missing. Yeah, it took me some time to realize that it's actually, there's a drive in me doing this, but maybe that's for good.
But what changed then last year that you, was there like a point you can figure out from last year where you said, okay, I got this idea now, I met this person and we kind of brainstormed and we talked about it, and now I get the first idea of the concept I would like to do, or I'd love to do on the island.
I'm running a label, Innervisions, and also we're doing events.
Innervisions label parties, Lost in the Moment.
Yes, we travel in this through all the world, and we do Innervisions label parties, which are usually indoors and are quite centered around music. Then we actually created another concept called Lost in a Moment, where we went to unusual spaces, mostly outside of towns, so people had to make the effort to travel there, stay there and absorb everything we are doing there. So, and that's why we call it lost in a moment. There is no way for you to, I don't know, dip into it like it is in a bigger city. You go into the club, and if you don't really like it today, you might just go over to the other club.
Yeah.
There you are basically
lost,
trapped.
Yeah.
So thinking about Ibiza, we were brainstorming what could be the aspect of the concept that is different than location or music. And I guess at the end of the last year, I realized that there is a lot of tools, a lot of technology that are circling around and are used in different contexts, but not in clubbing. It's media tools, and I looked on the state of the art clubbing, and I realized two things: that we, as a clubbing community, became extremely conservative.
We like our structure. Like when something different pops up, then it's uncomfortable. Or
yeah, we, how do we, you mean? We stick to a formula that is there for 30 years.
Okay, so it's, go it's, to the club,
go
dance,
to the club, go
entertain,
to
entertain, have fun, dance music.
Yeah, no. I'm seeing it from a technology point of view. We're going to a club. There's a sound system. There's lights. There's sometimes lasers, and that's it. And we, I guess, clubs in the world, they put a lot of effort into sound.
Yeah.
So developing sound was always an issue. But other than that, nothing really was put a lot of effort in.
Just
light maybe a little
bit. Just the invention of the beamer, maybe.
Yes, there was visuals at some point, but now we have 3D mapping, we have augmented reality, we have holography, we have so many things that are used in on concerts, are used in TV studios, are used in installations, are used in galleries, are used on your phone, but not in clubs. And someone else asked me, what is my favorite clubs in the world, or what was my favorite club nights? I said Sapporo, Precious Hall. I said Robert Johnson in Offenbach. I said the inner city parties back in Berlin in a weekend club. And all of these clubs are pretty small, pretty simple, and are run in a way that they were run probably 20, 25 years ago. And I felt that I don't want this anymore. I want to have a surrounding that feels like Zeitgeist, that feels like implementing state-of-the-art tools, and as simple as that.
And so change a winning team, you say. Like there's this phrase, never change a winning team. But I mean, that's all about the, for example, Robert Johnson, which is still open and is still a good club. But from your point of view, like there's something missing. It's not developing.
I wouldn't say that it's at Robert Johnson something missing. It's probably my favorite club in the world. But this is not everything that clubbing can offer. This is one side of clubbing. And I feel that the other side of clubbing, when it comes to bigger venues, when it comes to more commercial venues, are hardly doing it in a way that I, with a more, or aesthetically, I would approve it. And I very often feel lost in the spaces. And in my head is flying, ideas are flying around where, why don't you do this and this and this and that? And Ibiza is the place where I felt I could implement ideas into an environment that is not used to that. And I felt it would make a big impact for different things. First of all, for me, I would probably feel better playing there. Or to be more specific, there are several tools when it comes to synchronization syncing light, lasers, and other tools with the music, where if you would use new digital tools in a way that they are not used yet, I as a DJ would gain more control. So right now, for instance, you have the situation that I'm playing a certain track and I want to say something with this track.
You have your CDJ and it's a
yeah. There's maybe you know
player.
There's maybe a fast track before, then I play a softer one, or I want to play a hit at this moment, or I want to play something to scare the people, whatsoever. So I have a certain message with that track. And then there's one guy, one person at the laser, one person at the lights that has to react to what I'm doing. But they don't really know why I'm doing it or what I'm doing next.
Or they need time to get the message.
Yes.
That you wanted to.
Yeah. So even even if I have and our team, there's amazing light and laser guys, but still they have to react to it. And there are several digital solutions to actually sync what happens in kind of immersive system or in an ecosystem that you build in a club that consists of lights, lasers, holography, for instance, and different other things. I don't want to be too specific there. But the general idea that I could control with modern technology way more what I want to say as a DJ than I was before, that's something that I discovered lately, but it's there for a long time already.
Yeah.
But no one is really digging deeper into it, or at least not in the normal clubbing surroundings that I'm in. It's usually digged in right now in Kraftwerk. There's a big exhibition
yeah.
where dealing with that. But this again is an installation. It's not a real clubbing experience.
It's more a gallery surrounding than a club.
And I feel that I feel it's time to put a finger on it, and I'm obviously not an expert, but at least I'm a passionate person about it that's trying to implement tools that we should have implemented already to give actually more value to a clubbing experience. Because you know, your question was about why Ibiza. I feel that Ibiza also goes through, or clubbing went through, an amazing time over the last 10 years. Because traveling became so cheap that when you are a dedicated raver, you could experience not just what happens in your city, not just what happens in your country. You can travel all over the world, or we in Europe, we can travel through Europe pretty easily.
Yeah.
It's pretty cheap. You know, for that, what you can, you find a great cheap hotel. The club entrance is not crazy. Food in several places is not crazy. So on that level, you can have a two, three day experience in Berlin, in Tbilisi, in Amsterdam that will maybe, I don't want to say change your life, but at least when you come home, you can feel maybe what you're missing there, and you can start to be active and change something in your city, or request more from a DJ or from a club.
That's interesting to say, though, if you say when you have a city trip and you can, or you see what's missing in your city, and you do this, I call it now because we were talking about it the whole time and we didn't say the word. It's Transmoderna, your party series.
It's true, Ibiza. Yeah.
But I mean, you figured out what's missing for you, and you did it on Ibiza and not in Berlin, for example, where your home is. Mm-hmm.
Well, there's different aspect of it, yeah. So right now I just said that traveling has actually become pretty cheap, and I could see on my own parties that people really travel and follow DJs also. And I guess that a lot of DJs have this now. And events that are done in Amsterdam have probably 50% of British people there, 30% of whatsoever, and then there's 20% from Amsterdam. So on the same time in Ibiza, everything became extremely expensive. So I realized that the people that actually make the effort and paid the price and the pain that is connected to it, that go to Ibiza, they should have an experience that they cannot have somewhere else.
So it's going to be more special.
Yes, to give them an added value that they will probably not have when they come to a show that I play in Paris. Or I'm playing Berlin or other places. So with this in mind, we actually focused more and more on the technology or on the tool part of these things when it came to Transmoderna. And we connected with contemporary artists, with creative coders, with dancers, with obviously musicians. It's a very young and creative collective that it's pushing me also. It's pushing me to come out of my comfort zone. And because when you are kind of successful DJ and you travel around and your parties are okay, you feel okay. And you can go with that status quo, you know, and you maybe don't realize what happens outside of your bubble.
Yeah.
And I think that was always one of the things for me to dig into something deeper at a certain time of my career, but then put my head up high and see what else is happening while I was digging into this.
Watch out for new things. Watch out for new things. Stick to your regular.
Yeah, and pushing myself to go somewhere else. Yeah.
You just named some parts like dancers, holograms. We were talking about it, about technologies. You said that have had a big impact in your idea of Transmoderna, but for a visitor who hasn't been there this year at the Transmoderna party, I mean, it's the residency was at Pasha on Ibiza. And how did this event look like when you're there as a dancer, when you just entered? What is different in this night to like another night, like for example, Sundays at Solomon's?
First of all, I would say that you could hear me for quite some time. Yeah, at least I played 3 or 4 hours on that night, which is for Ibiza, except for Solomon's night, pretty rare. Usually you have a huge lineup or you have a headliner that goes on for 1.5 hours and that's it.
Yeah.
There is hardly exceptions. So from even if I invited a lot of amazing DJs and live acts, I still kept a certain time frame for myself to give myself also to the people, to not just show up and be there for 1.5 hours and play the standard tunes and then go. So this is one thing. The other thing is that this kind of ecosystem that we want to create for Transmoderna, it's not centered around the DJ. As you might have realized over the last years, the attention of people on the dance floor is very heavy on the performing artist.
It's all pointed out to the DJ. Yeah.
And one thing is that they're all looking at it. The other thing is that they're all filming it. Yeah. I believe that dancing with your crew or dancing with your girl or dancing with this other person that you never met before, but you exchange something on the dance floor is a key part of clubbing. And this got lost a little bit. So one of the key intentions of what we doing there is to set it around the dance floor rather than around the DJ. So if you would enter Pasha, you would realize that there was 3 installations we had. One above the DJs, but 2 above the dance floor. And we had visual screens all around the club rather than behind the wall of the dance floor of the DJ. And the DJ is pretty low and the lights are not on him. Yes, there are some lights on him. And yes, for certain moments, that's great. But it's not about showcasing the hand moves of the DJs for 6 hours during the night. Rather make him, I mean, that maybe sounds too superficial, but rather make him disappear than glorifying it. And so a lot of the lights, lasers, and other visual aspects that we created are to distract the people from the DJ. And I guess there's a thin line between using all these tools to distract people. If you create too much entertainment,
it's overwhelming.
It's overwhelming and it becomes a show.
Yeah.
So that was always the question. How can you produce something that feels different, but it's not superficial show that goes for 4 hours. And we had to learn along the way what is the right balance. Mm-hmm. And we had to see which elements we had to upgrade, which we had to downgrade, which are too powerful, which are too red, which are too blah, 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 blah. And
so over the season, it was still a progress.
It was still a progress. We actually, I agreed to do this this residency pretty late in the process. Usually everyone else is signing a deal in beginning of December or beginning of November, and then you have like 6, 7, 8 months of preparation. We finally signed in February, and that was 3 months, and it was a pretty short time frame. So we kind of, in the first year, we kind of evolved during the season. But it felt organically, and it felt good. It felt good to make this progress. It made me also happy at a certain point, you know. It's not like you create something and then you are in 6 nights and it's the same thing over and over again. Developing. There was always, every night, there was something, look, now this happens. Yeah. Wow, isn't this amazing? No, it's shit. Next week we try it differently. Or it was great, you know. So it felt alive.
You also talked about dancers, and I think when most of the people think about dancers on Ibiza, they have a certain dancer image in the head. But when you, for example, watch the Transmoderna video of the Transmoderna hymn by Arm, it's completely different to what most of the people would expect to have dances, or when they heard there are dances at Pasha in Ibiza. Yeah, yeah, yeah. What was the approach to include also choreography and dance to Transmoderna?
The first reaction is kind of like dancers on stages in the club dressed up like, I don't know, like
futuristic,
or funny or whatsoever. It's totally against what we're doing in Berlin here, for instance. You don't find any, if I'm correct, but yes, you don't
maybe
find
not
any
in the clubs you're going.
But you see nothing, no staged dance performance. Yeah. You know, that is distracting people, because that's what it is. It's just distracting people from themselves or from the music. Yeah. Rather than neglecting it, it was the idea of accepting it, but what could be done with it that is more to the zeitgeist, or it's more contemporary than what happens there usually. And here maybe comes the second side of Transmoderna, that we try to not just focus on the club, but on the overall outcome, and on the not just on the reality, also on the hyper-reality, and on the focusing on what we could deliver to people outside of Ibiza that could still be interesting for them. And implementing it in the system of Ibiza. So the video itself was done in Berlin, manipulated in Berlin, created in Berlin, in all is
edited.
I hope you have a link on the website where people can watch it.
I will put the link in the show notes.
Yeah, and the idea was to put a machine vision into a dance video. So more from a more training like session of dancers into a machine vision of what dance could be. And our approach to do this was to basically give an outfit to the song Transmoderna, but also using this material to implement it back into Pasha. So once the material was filmed, you saw elements of it in the club during a night. So we kind of connected what happens in the club or what happened in the video, and the dancers are some dancers from the original dancers from the club, and we kind of tried to connect all this and create a system that is not just based on a night out in Pasha in Ibiza. You can hopefully lose yourself into what comes also next in 2020, not just in the reality of a nightclub in Ibiza, but also in the hyper reality of your phone or a surrounding that you are sitting in when you are at home.
We're talking about hyper reality, but mm-hmm. for most of the people, maybe you need to explain what that means.
It means that. First of all, I think that somehow the now and the future's merged in a way. You know, when we talked about holography or machine vision, augmented reality or artificial intelligence, it always seemed like it's coming
that
one
away.
Day far away. You know,
yeah.
Maybe faster than we think, but it's not around the corner. Now it is around the corner. So in a way, certain things that are unthinkable for people, whereas you also can feel there's a fear against AI. What is it, you know? And is it it's going to destroy the humans? That fear is constantly there. And but on the same time, there's a lot of creative people working with that and implementing it in a way that it actually gives a value to our times. And there was a simple question in the very beginning. Okay, we're doing a night in Ibiza. What are the people usually see outside of Ibiza from that what happened in Ibiza? And the reality is that, and that's maybe not just based on Ibiza, that's maybe a typical promoter, party promoter thing. You see a video afterwards, which shows you beautiful girls, maybe an amazing light, a moment of craziness in a club.
Hands up DJs.
Hands up DJs. Or when it's outdoor, you see a drone flying over the festival and it's a beautiful surrounding. So everything is seemed to look
nice.
Pleasing.
Yeah, pleasing.
Very pleasing. Come back or come next year.
Yeah.
So the idea of this is to make you feel you lost something. You couldn't be there. It must have been amazing.
Fear of missing out.
You're missing out. Yeah. You're sitting at home now and how stupid are you?
Yeah.
So the idea that we then had was that we felt that it's for us, first of all, aesthetically not pleasing. Second, how can we give something to the people that are actually missing out? That has a value for them that is different than what the people experienced on the club itself. And there again comes tools. You know, we created a live stream in the beginning of the season.
And an Instagram filter.
Instagram filter,
for example.
Yeah, for example. And
also including augmented reality. Like you had a logo or your logo was shown when you use this filter and it can be like right there on the floor.
Yes, and also we created a live stream in the beginning of the year, from the first night actually, that had again several manipulation of the image to not show exactly what really happens, but create a visual aesthetic that is interesting and keeps you listening, because Boiler Room, it's a fun concept, but you know, it's you do this once and then really do you want to, I mean, it's very often it comes also down to me. Do I want to watch something in this case, for instance? Do I want to watch another Boiler Room? I'm not. Do I want to watch another Circle, you know, where there's even, you know, the concepts all they are, they have their audience. And they are done very professional and really great, you know. So it's not about doing something better than someone else.
But you wanted to do something that's pleasing you.
Yes, it's just showing a different aspect of what is possible and what is interesting. Actually,
my feeling was I watched it because I wasn't there, and I was very interested in what's new, what's this Transmodana all about. And then I watched it and it felt like a music video, like a very long music video. Because of course it's dance music, but also very, very interesting one. You played a lot of new tracks also from your label. And of course, you see at some parts you can recognize you playing, and you can recognize the people around, but not very properly. And it, I had the feeling I was watching a dance music video, but for 1 hour.
Yeah, it was, I mean, there's so many tools, pixel morphing, GAN.
Yeah, it was very outstanding because I haven't seen it before, and I was pretty surprised, positively surprised. So one question that just popped in my mind: you said that you learned a lot and you discovered a lot for yourself. Did you learn coding by yourself?
No. I didn't, and I will never be able to code. And I don't want to, but I feel the excitement when I see the scene and try to understand what they're actually doing. Sometimes I can't even understand, but it was the same when in the early 90s for me, when I realized what since the late 80s or the early 90s, DJs or untrained musician produced with new technology that was around then.
You can also use the term programmed. I mean, they programmed beats. They programmed beats.
It was the first time that Detroit, Chicago, New York, you know, that there was they were dealing around with technology, and the results were rough. They were sometimes wrong, but they had a certain feeling in it that survived till today. And I feel the same about this coding creatives right now. It's sometimes wrong. It's sometimes too rough, and but it has a certain feeling in it that I do feel right now, and that's why I'm pretty supportive of that.
So looking into 2020, which is just in a couple of weeks, what's next with Transmoderna? Is there, do you want to stay in Ibiza and try to connect with other people via technology, for example?
Yes, we're going to stay in Ibiza. We're going to do something in Ibiza, do it even better than before. We actually, it's a second year. We try to upgrade the product and integrate a couple of things that appeared now over the year, or that seems possible now, or that we actually discovered. So I think that the product itself will be more amazing. But we also want to extend it to a couple of very specific events around the world. Not too many, but where we have a certain location or a certain partner that enables us to present what our vision is in a way that that it makes sense. Because the problem is that speaking about this, all these tools or technology or the production all the time, it's fucking a lot of money to do this.
Yeah, that was my question. Like, it seems like the production.
There's
is
a reason why
cost.
A lot of people don't do it, because if you do it for one night, it's you install all of this.
Maybe the risk is also too high.
The risk is high. The installation costs are too high, and the willingness is also not really there. So that's why, for instance, we could actually think about this on a proper residency, which goes 20 Fridays, because we repeat it all the time, you know, and then it somehow makes sense. But doing all this for one night only, it's pretty tough to actually realize it.
Yeah.
Because, you know, you cannot charge, you don't want to charge the people X amount of money at the door. You also don't want to have X amount of sponsors on an event. You know, that also feels not right. So it's...
Why are you positioning Transmoderna as a brand itself? Like, I mean, you said some minutes ago that Transmoderna is a product, and
yes,
that you don't see it with...
We want to be a testing ground for things to be shown to a wider public in reality and in hyper-reality. So we basically do parties, and I simply call them parties because I want to make this it's clear. It's not an installation. It's not an art thing. Then we gonna develop certain products that we're gonna present, start to present in 2020, connected to DJing, connected to phones, and to fashion. And we try to, yeah, actually, that's it for 2020. It's already a lot, you know.
Let's speak 2020 again, yeah, and that's also, maybe that's also the family
one,
grows.
Yeah, that's also one issue that this is, it sounds like super big, and obviously we're talking about it for the last 30 minutes, but it's only 20 shows of the year, and then there's all the other stuff that I'm somehow involved in, and it's that's maybe the problem of being so long in this or limited time, you know, that you facing the situation that you cannot do everything 120% anymore, because you have I'm running this label, and there's the distribution, and there's our little clubwear brand, then there is the event agency, the booking agency, and all these things take time, absorb time.
And your family, friends, your son.
Family, obviously, the private life is suffering often under all these projects. So, so accepting something new like Transmoderna, you have to always know that it cannot be done in 1 year. It takes a certain progress, and you might be slower than you think in your head.
You already said it, that you focus on products like fashion, for example, mm-hmm. and you also got I'm talking about Transmoderna, but you also got another fashion brand called Together We Dance Alone, mm-hmm. together with your wife.
Yeah.
But circling back to Transmoderna again, you already released some t-shirts and a collaboration with Misbehave.
Yeah.
It's like more planned in 2020 to collaborate or focusing on own clothing line?
Yes, there's more collaboration going to come. I would say the idea is to not do merchandising or merchandising only. We wanted to create products that that I wear myself, and
people you always
know
do.
Me, yeah, people that know me know that I'm not the standard white black t-shirts and black trousers DJ. I love to wear colorful stuff and stuff that sometimes. It's just a bit different, and here it also comes with we actually worked with several brands already, with Alux and with Misbehave, that we believe are forward thinking, and also dig deep into materials, into implementing technology, and we dig deeper and deeper into this field with Transmoderna, but also with Together We Dance Alone, to create clubwear that is a little bit off the road.
Some people recognize your fable for outstanding clothing. I mean, there's a Facebook page called Shirt ID, What's Dixon Wearing?
Yeah, yeah.
And like people, when I look on pictures or videos of gigs you played and people post on Facebook, then they're asking for like, what's the shirt?
Yeah.
What's the shirt?
Maybe it's, I just love to wear stuff, and it seems to be a little bit different than other DJs or other people. But it's no product placement or whatsoever. It's like me playing unreleased music where people are guessing what it actually is. It's the same with the clothes, you know. I would not really run around and tag on Instagram what I'm wearing right now, how it other DJs doing or other people doing. That's just not my style.
You said you're doing club wear also with Together We Dance Alone. You were focusing on shirts. You had a collaboration with Sakai, mm-hmm. the Japanese label. Also recently, I guess that's one of the reasons why you went to Japan last week.
I worked with Sakai for the first time last year, and that was for an actual showcase in Tokyo. This time I was just about to go to Tokyo, and then they contacted us me again, and it was fun to extend that collaboration. And it feels like a pretty new field for us. And we, in 2020, we're going to release actually quite a lot of stuff and digging deeper into different fields of clubware and defining for us what clubware actually is.
That's my question. What's clubware?
Yeah, and there's so many definitions flying around that we don't really accept anymore. And we want to put our own way out there without actually speaking about it, you know, because I think that's one of the key things. It's strange to say this in an interview, but I don't really like to talk a lot about the stuff I or we are doing. I think people should find out for themselves. Obviously, when you're doing so many things and you have certain recognition, sometimes it's time to talk about stuff. Sometimes it's needed, but in general, I feel that it's rather interesting to figure out for yourself than to have someone explaining you. And it goes the same for my favorite artists. You know, I love to follow musicians or a fashion brand or a contemporary artist, and without having someone explaining me why I like this, you know, or why I should like this. What's the importance of it? I don't think it should be self-explaining. There should be a certain mystery about it. Otherwise, it would be maybe just...
You can't find that much about Together We Dance Alone on the internet. It's like you have this collaboration with Sakai, and you had it in the store.
It's
at
Muting
Noise.
Like this, you know, it's like this. There's still a lot of time.
Keep it secret. But you're doing this with your wife, and how is it to work together? I mean, you also worked together for the Transmoderno video. She was the
art director.
Art director.
And how? It's, I'm with her for a very long time, and I'm married with her for more than 10, well, nearly 10 years. And in all this time, we worked together on several things, but very loose. And now it's the first time that we actually have a brand together, and we work on a more day-to-day basis. It's still hard to find your position in there, and to balance private and business in that case. When is it actually private? When is it business now? And when is it when it's just fashion tips, or when is it something?
Overlapping at some
time. When it's overlapping. So it's not an easy process, but it's a fruitful process actually. And I'm happy we're doing this finally.
A different topic I wanted to talk to you about is, of course, the future of clubbing. But I mean, Transmoderno is, you said, in one interview I've read that you said the future is present. Mm-hmm. But what's coming more? I mean, you said the technology is, or club music or the clubs or Transmoderno is adapting mm-hmm. other technologies. But what's next for the club dance music industry? Not only clubbing industry, as you're also running a label.
I can feel that a lot of clubs are suffering from the overpresence of festivals right now. So I feel we are again in this, it's again this, the circle that we are going through every decade, where suffering follows innovation, and then innovations follow success, and then too many people want to be part of what is successful. I feel that we are on this state right now again. And the club's suffering at the moment. I also believe that the club's suffering from non-existent residencies.
So are you a fan of residencies?
Yes. I mean, it's residences mainly are gone for 20 years, you know. Or I remember when I started to do Watergate. I remember when I started it, but what year was it? I don't know, 2005 or whatsoever. It was already the discussion that residencies are over. And I was the first resident of Watergate back then. And then it stopped after, I don't know what it was, 6 months. It wasn't so successful, for me at least. And afterwards, Watergate started to install this booking DJs every weekend from everywhere. And it worked better. And it was kind of like this time when slowly but surely, except for very rare, Fabric had a residence for quite a long time until recently. It's the topic is not new, you know. And that was also, you know, the strange thing with Ibiza is that this is the only place in the world where every night is connected to a resident, and the resident is there every, case Friday, but or every Sunday, every Wednesday, whatsoever. And that is you don't find it in any other city. Even the epicenters of clubbing like Berghain or whatsoever, you know, it's the residents there play there. What is it? Once a month. Sometimes every 6 weeks, and are called residents, but they cannot shape the club how a resident could shape the club when he plays there every week. So it was strange that I'm somehow thinking that there should be a lot of more progress in Ibiza, but on the same time they're the last one having residents there. So I believe that the fact that clubs are like festivals in that way, you know. The festival is presenting for one weekend whatsoever a number of DJs, and then it's not happening anymore. And clubs are presenting every weekend different, or every month a certain amount of DJs that they're not coming back for another year.
Yeah.
So I'm not saying we should have residents again. You know, it's like maybe we are just in that time now where people want to hear someone else every weekend. But I believe that is one of the problems why clubs are suffering from festivals. I also wanted to point one other, I think, great thing about Ibiza out, that a minus point is that it's a holiday destination, you know, because then that means
people go there going nuts.
Go, you know, yeah. they don't care,
yeah,
in a way, you know. They don't care for a scene. They don't care for the environment there and whatsoever. The great thing about it is it's over after 5 months. So there's a certain way of, okay, excitement. It starts again, and then it's over. Berghain, you can go every Saturday, you know. If you don't want to go today, all right, then you go next week. How often where I was back in Berlin and I was like, okay, yeah, I'm going raving, and then I was too tired or whatsoever.
Okay, I'll go tomorrow.
Yes, you know. There, it's not like this. This is the one shot you have. So you as a person going there, you give everything that you have in all sense, you know, to have the best time of your life. And the fact that Ibiza disappears for at least half a year, it makes it exciting through the other time.
I mean, what comes with the whole system that we got festivals and you're traveling a lot. Like, yeah, you're every weekend. Is there a fixed weekend where you're staying at home?
The idea or the planning of the year is always different. You know, every year you discover something that you liked about this year that you want to implement again, or something that you hate that you want to change. But there are certain fixed points. The fixed points are January and February. Mostly I'm not traveling in that month. I'm usually stopping at the 5th or 6th of January and then playing only in March again. And then there's school holidays now that are the times when I'm not playing. And also I reduce gigs for already the last 5 or 6 years. Every year I play 10 gigs less, which is 10% less. It's still a big number. I think next year I'm going to play 80 shows only. But you see, huge. I say only, but it's still 80 shows, you know. I do believe that I like to play less, but have a bigger impact on the play, the shows that I'm playing, and playing mostly longer, and quality over quantity.
You know? 1 year ago, or I guess it was last year, you played like a little tour over Europe where you played all night long sets at clubs. Mm-hmm. Are you going to do this more?
Not more, but I think in 2020, by the end of 2020, we're going to have this again. Yeah.
When you say like you're reducing your schedule by 10% every year, where do you see yourself in 10 years then?
I don't know. I really don't know. You can catch me off the microphone today, and I would say like I don't play longer than you know, it's 3 more years, and then we see us again in a week, and I'm like, oh, you know, could go forever. 10,
20 years.
Yeah. Yeah, I don't think it could go forever. But it's not not everything is said yet.
And when you're traveling, like, I mean, of course, sometimes, as you said, when you catch me now, it's like I'm going to stop in 3 or 4 years. When you catch me maybe after the weekend or during the weekend, I'm like, I can do this forever. Mm-hmm. Is there at some point, some time where you like, okay, I'm really, it's too hard. It's too much. I mean, traveling is a very huge point in,
yeah.
I mean,
it's not just traveling, actually. Yeah, there's this times, you know, that's there's always this.
It's always very fast. Does it seem like a high performance sport?
Yeah, it's it's I think it's 2 or 3 different aspects. One is music generally. You know, there's I believe, for instance, in the beginning of the summer, I didn't really like the music that I experienced or that I was sent to or that I could discover that was just in my bag. You know, I played it and I didn't feel it that much. And then there's 1 or 2 tracks that change it completely, or a month. I believe, for instance, that I put music, I organized music by month. So on my stick, I'm playing with USB sticks, you see, 2019 November right now. And my November folder has right now 72 tracks. Which is and I would say that 45 of them I really do play. So people that listen to me in August, it's now different. It's completely different music. Yeah. And sometimes maybe December is the month where I have 5 new tracks, and it's and they are maybe not even good, you know. So my excitement for my job comes with the quality of the music that I discover, and the traveling aspect or the physical aspect of all this, it's usually after the summer. I'm kind of dead. Then I'm surviving the fall, but in fall I play more all night long sets that are more intense, but more they give me more. So I'm taking more from them than I put into them.
So physically more intense, but emotional, like yeah. Way more
balancing me again. Yeah, yeah. And so it's going in through cycles. And there is always times where I'm thinking like, all right, I should do a break for half a year or whatsoever. And as I said, I'm not playing in January and February, and it's. It's always the same that in by the middle of that break, it's starting to scratch, itchy, and you know.
Want to get
and,
back on the road yeah, then. Yeah. One last question in terms of, or can you give an outlook in terms of technology and electronic music? What's the next big thing?
Well, I think that the problem is that there's a lot of big things already there, but we don't use them. We are, as said before, we are very conservative in the way we perform. Just one point, you know, I'm playing with USB sticks. There's a WAV file there. There's the information could be integrated in a system that the laser guy or the light guy or the machine is having this information and reacting to it without. Just being, just experience it live. They could see ahead what's coming.
Reacting in real time.
Reacting in real time, then, rather than reacting to what they might understand a little bit too late. And it's not that this is a wishful thinking. It's there for years. There are certain tools that actually do this, but we all don't use them. And. Or hardly use it. And when I just look at a CD player that I'm using, actually it's still called CD player, while 99% of the people that use it is using it as a USB. You know, and the machine is huge, and there's so many space wasted for stuff that no one is actually doing, where you could implement so many things that are, you know, why is no sampler integrated in a CD player already? Why is there an extra machine called sampler? And so on. It's, you know, it's just little things, but there's a lot of little things. And I see Richie Horton, for instance, who is always like very much looking into the whole technology aspect of the performance, actually. And he rather actually wants, as far as I see it from my perspective, he rather wants people to understand what he is actually doing. He is very creative in what he is doing on stage, but he feels the urge to show the people with his, for instance, closer, what it actually is. That's not my interest.
But his approach was also like to include the crowd into his performance.
Yeah,
to like include. We had him as a podcast partner as well.
Yeah, to include the crowd, but also to make via visuals, you know, this via visuals or via an app, make people understand what it is, what he is doing, what he is as a performer. That is not my intention. My intention is not that people understand why the laser is reacting now better than it reacted last year, because the laser has whatsoever information, or it's used in whatever way. I don't think people need to know this. For me, it's for me is important is that the product, the system we built, is actually bringing the people the people have a better experience without knowing why. The why is not a question for me.
Thank you very much, Stefan, for this.
You're well welcome.
And thank you for your time.
Das war mein Gespräch mit Stefan Berkan, aka Dixon. Natürlich sehr intensiv über Technologien, sehr intensiv über viele visuelle Aspekte. Dazu packe ich euch noch ein paar Links in die Shownotes, inklusive dem Transmoderner Musikvideo. Unser Special mit Dixon ist zugleich auch die letzte Podcast-Folge für dieses Jahr. Aber keine Angst, wir sind schon Mitte Januar 2020 mit neuen Folgen zurück. Ich freue mich wie immer über Feedback oder auch Gästewünsche. Schreibt uns dafür gerne über Instagram oder hinterlasst eine Bewertung bei Apple. Bis dahin, falls wir uns nicht hören, sehen wir uns im Club.
Das war der Telekom Electronic Beats Podcast.
Abonniert den Podcast bei Apple, SoundCloud, Spotify oder Deezer.
Wir sehen uns im Club.
Bis dann.